A friend of mine was telling me the story of his brother's experience one day with his son at McDonald's. He brought his little boy there for a treat and to McDonald's, and he bought him a meal, and he seated with him at one of the booths. You know, and the dad reached over, as dads are gonna do, and say, "Oh, mind if I have one of these to get one of his French fries?" And surprisingly, the son gave his father this mean look and said, "No, those are mine." The little boy didn't want to share, didn't want to give even a single French fry to his dad. Unamused, very unamused by his son's reaction, the father had two immediate thoughts about his boy. First off, he doesn't understand how he came to have those French fries in front of him, doesn't get that I'm the one who gave them to him. And number two, if I can't trust him to be generous with French fries, how can I trust him to do what's right when something's really important? And I'm sure that this dad really wanted his son to willingly want to give him a French fry way more than he actually wanted the stupid little French fry. That's the way it is with God as well. He wants us to have a heart willing to see and acknowledge that he is the true source of all that we have. He wants to trust us with so much of his treasure, with so much of his Holy Spirit. But he wants us to share that treasure with others. He desires us to have the same generous heart that he does. It isn't all that complicated. Recognize that God is the source and develop a sharing, generous heart. And yet it is sometimes so hard for us to do. We constantly think things like, I have my house because, I have my house because of my hard work and my ingenuity, rather than our God-given gifts and talents combined with some work, yes, and fortuitous circumstances. It's a combination of all of those things. We don't often think about it. We don't often even realize it, but just how easily any of those things could change. And how easily we could wind up like the people in Lytton, British Columbia last year, who lost their homes in a wildfire. Or maybe someone in Zimbabwe who can't even get a mortgage to buy a home in the first place because of the corruption in the banking system there. There are so many factors at play all the time over which we have no control. And even your capacity to work really hard and make the best of those things, of the things that you can control, even that capacity is a talent, an unearned gift from God. So there's really nothing good that does not come as a gift from the Father. In the gospel today, when we first look at it, that gospel today might seem strange and counter to what we think Jesus would say. Why is he praising the dishonest manager? Again, it's because we're not thinking of eternal life as the treasure. We're thinking of money as the treasure. We're focused on the things here and now, not on eternal life. Jesus's point is that God has been so generous with us. He wants us to develop that same generosity. Yet we often are willing to use all of our intelligence and ingenuity when it comes to worldly things, to money and finances, but we don't apply this intelligence to one thing that truly matters: eternal life, and sharing that incredible gift of faith and love that God has given us. Consider this for a moment. How many times have you sat down with pen and paper and worked out how you can use your talents and resources to be a better Christian, to be a better person, to be more generous or loving or kind or patient or forgiving or virtuous or whatever? How many times have you actually sat down and worked that out? How do I do that? What's a plan for that? Or consider the number of times you've sat down and planned out and strategized about how to get your sister or your mom or your son or your best friend to come back to the faith or discover it for the very first time. Do you have a strategy? Maybe you've prayed about it. Prayed to be, you know, more patient or kind. Prayed for someone you care about to recognize how much better their life would be if only they knew God's immeasurable love for them. But you've probably prayed about your finances and money issues too. Praying is great, but we also have to have a plan. And when it comes to finances, I'll bet you didn't just pray about it. I'll bet you didn't just leave it at that. I'll bet you also, you know, use your God-given smarts and your ingenuity to do some research, to talk to financial experts, to develop a plan, at least a retirement plan. You know, all those RRSPs and RESPs that you have, you know what the P stands for? Plan. You have a plan and you've probably tried to execute on it. And if we were to add up all the time spent doing this, working on that plan, and then we compared it to how much time we spent working on our faith life, how much time we spent planning out how we can share it with others, what would we see? Jesus says, you cannot serve both God and wealth. Think about all the time you spent planning out, you know, what age I can retire at, how to max out my RRSPs, what my strategy is going to be when I go to renew my mortgage when the interest rates are going up. Do I need life insurance or not? How do I reduce my taxes? Or even how often do you even just stop and think before, oh, which credit card should I pull out because I'll get the most points out of this? Or hopefully it's just a matter of points and not, ooh, which one's maxed out? Maybe I better use this one. How much time do we spend? How much of our energy do we spend on those things? And don't get me wrong, that stuff is important. I'm not saying it isn't important. It is. But is there any comparison to all the time and energy we spend on our spiritual well-being? And are all those things really as important as your eternal salvation? Are they really as important as trying to get your kids, your grandchildren to take their faith seriously, to come to know that the Father wants so much for them to be with Him, to know that Jesus loves them so much, to know that Jesus loves them so much that He died for them, that He was willing to get up on that cross for them? No bank, no financial planner is willing to make that kind of sacrifice for you. Scotiabank is right. You're richer than you think. But not in the way that they're talking about. They're richer than you think, actually, but that's another story. You're richer than you think when you come to realize what an incredible treasure you have been given. As Adrian, if you were here last week and Adrian was talking about kids ministry, Adrian last week, he talked about the greatest gift, the greatest inheritance he has is his relationship with God the Father, with Jesus, his son. And the best thing he can do for his children is to share that gift, that inheritance with them. As with any inheritance, it can be made to grow into a lasting legacy. Or we can fritter it away. But unlike any financial or material inheritance, the incredible and the counterintuitive thing about the treasure we have from God is that the more you share it with others, the more you give it away, the more it grows. The joy of knowing that you are his beloved daughter, that you are his beloved son, grows when we help others to know that they aren't alone, that they're loved just as much. Our ability to forgive grows when we are able to really see how much we are forgiven by God and help those who've hurt us to see it too. Our peace, our deep-seated and abiding peace grows when the people we care about experience that same peace as well. Our ability to trust in God rather than on our own wealth grows when we see him at work in people, in the lives of people we care about. Sharing our faith and all the fruit that we've seen come from that relationship with the Lord should be something we spend a lot of time thinking and strategizing about. We should be way more intentional about sharing this treasure from heaven than we are about securing our treasure on earth. We cannot serve both God and wealth. I know it's sometimes hard to share our faith, to talk about it easily and freely and eloquently. That's why we have the Alpha Course here at St. Ignatius. It's designed to get at those really important questions, to get discussions going, to allow people to share what's really on their heart, what are the deep questions that they have. And it's the prime strategy we have here at St. Ignatius for sharing this incredible treasure of God's love, the incredible treasure of his Holy Spirit, and sharing it with others, sharing it with the people we care about, sharing it with our neighbors. Now is the time to invest in that, in spending, in going and getting a cup of coffee with that person you've been praying for. Now's the time to go have a lunch with them, to make that phone call with that person in order to invite them to Alpha. A couple of weeks ago in the pews, and there's still some at the back, we had these little cards out where you could write down the name and pray for the person at 11:02 who every day who you wanted to invite to Alpha. Well, now's the time to take the next step and make that invitation, to give them a call, go for coffee with them. We've come up with the plan and the strategy to get them to know just how much God loves them. But it takes an invitation first. After communion today, I'm going to invite up Vanessa to speak about what Alpha has done for her, the gift and that it's been for her, and how she treasures that gift and wants to share it. But for now, I want you to pray, take the rest of this time in this Mass to pray for that person, to bring them up, offer them up on the altar. Those people you've been praying for, you can pray for them the rest of this Mass. But I want you to make an invite I want you to go and ask them to try Alpha. That's the incredible treasure that we've been given is so, so immense. It's so beautiful. And it's going to grow every time we share it with someone else. So how are you sharing some of the treasure you've been blessed with? Who are you inviting?